I am Planto on the Line. This is thecommentary.ca. A few years ago, one of my guests now, a professional chef, found himself without a kitchen, well, a professional one at least, one that had daily deliveries and staff. He was waiting for his restaurant, Avoce, to wrap up construction, and he found himself at home a lot, whipping up meals for his wife and he in their Manhattan apartment-sized kitchen. Andrew Carmelini and his wife, Gwen Heinemann, join me now. He has since left Avoce and is in search of a new restaurant. In the meantime, they both have written a book of recipes, Urban Italian, Simple Recipes and True Stories from a Life of Food, published by Bloomsbury. The book retails for $38.50 and not only contains easy-to-make recipes, but anecdotes on Carmelini's culinary education and more. He was executive chef and partner at Avoce, and he's cooked at Café Boulud and Le Cirque. Heinemann has written about food for Gastronomica and The Rob Report. She is also an associate professor at Cooper Union. They're both in Vancouver this day. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Andrew Carmelini and Gwen Heinemann. Good morning, Dr. Heinemann, and good morning, Chef Carmelini.
Good morning.
Nice to be here.
Thanks for joining us. How big is your apartment, Gwen?
The whole apartment?
Yeah.
The apartment is about 1,000 square feet, and only about 70 square feet of that is kitchen.
And I guess, did that inspire the book, just being at home a lot, Andrew?
Well, I was kind of, the book came about, it was in between when I was the chef at Café Boulou on the Upper East Side of Manhattan for, many years, and then I kind of took a year off before I opened up my first restaurant on my own, which was Avoce, when I had it. And we were cooking a lot at home and cooking Italian food because I knew that my restaurant was going to be Italian. And I was just getting in the mood again about the recipes that I kind of like in my blood and, some new versions and some old versions. And I started telling some stories, and Gwen sat on a kitchen chair in the middle of the kitchen with her laptop and started writing everything down, and that's how the book came together.
Now, your background is Italian, is it not, Andrew?
I'm half Italian and half Polish. So there's kind of a joke going around our family that the next book will be called Urban Polish, although I don't think it has the right ring to it.
Now, can you cook, Gwen?
No, actually, I can't cook at all. Pretty much at all. I am not genetically related to anybody who can boil water with any success. So this was really an education for me. But it was really a pleasure, too, because for somebody who can't cook or who doesn't have a background being comfortable cooking, it's really important to really understand how to go step by step and what something should be like when it's done. And that's something that chefs don't necessarily know because they kind of cook by feel. So it was really important to me as we did this process for me to slow Andrew down and say, okay, how do you know that that's done? And the answer can't be because it's done. It has to be, what does it smell like? What does it taste like? What does it look like? How long has it been? And I am very proud to say I can cook just about everything in the book.
And one assumes that your husband is a chef, and as a co-author, he'd probably want to be more precise or technical. And I guess you had to steer him away from that, perhaps.
Well, that's not actually true. There's two kinds of cooks, Andrew always says, and I think he's right. There's people who are pastry chefs or who do dessert, and then there's people who do savory food and work on the hotline. And the hotline guys, they're pretty improvisational. So it was more like, no, wait, stop, you have to measure that. How much salt was that? How much pepper was that? Because they don't necessarily do that. It really can be sort of a dance, and the steps aren't written down.
Andrew, growing up, when was it that you knew that you wanted to be a chef?
It was going to be two things for me. I was either going to be a chef, get into the restaurant business, or I was going to be a rock star. And, the rock star thing, I'm not going to say it didn't work out, but I pursued the chef angle. I mean, I started doing it when I was really young and started cooking when I was young and started working in restaurants when I was 14. And, I mean, it really wasn't a plan. It just, I just kept on going with it and lived in France for a year and lived in Italy for a year and it's been in New York, 18 years now. So, it really wasn't a plan or like one day I was like, oh, I want to be a chef. It was just, I always did it and enjoyed it and, just kept with it really.
Is there any, you don't see yourself doing anything else?
Well, that's not true. I mean, I can easily see myself doing nothing.
Yeah. And I think we all can, yeah.
And, I love to travel. I mean, at one point, I think when I was really into sciences. I thought that maybe marine biology was going to be the way to go. But I think that was, in my mind, you know, I would be on some Caribbean island, you know, maybe doing some work in the afternoon and lots of, you know, scantily clad women around, you know, taking samples of fishes.
A hound.
But maybe when I was back then, that's what I thought it would be like. But
when you studied in Italy for a year, was that important in terms of I guess, your career choice? Like, you learned a lot there?
Well, I mean, I think for American chefs, or North American chefs, I should say, that it's travel is so important because it gives you... I don't think you should go to Italy or France, really, you know, to learn, or Thailand or Mexico or, you know, any kind of travel. It's not to learn how to cook, really. It's just about, because good cooking is good cooking, I believe, no matter what kind of cuisine you're cooking. It's kind of all the relative same steps. You know, you can butcher, you can taste, you can make a sauce, you can do all those things. I think it's important that, because... You know, all these ingredients from around the world, I mean, Italy included, are just part of kind of the vernacular these days of how people eat. So, you know, I don't know, if it's different things from Asian cuisine, whether it's curry or it's spaghetti or whether it's, you know, French confit or something like that, it's important to go and taste these things where they come from, so it just helps you understand them, and it just makes you a better cook when you can, you know, understand the history and the topography, and, you know, so going to Italy is, yeah, it was very, very important for me, you know, the 20 plus times I've been there, so, because there's some authenticity to what you're doing. It gives you a sense of place other than, you know, I learned this in my local restaurant, and you can bring some of the techniques and bring some of the flavors back, and then you can kind of mold those flavors to be your own, if that makes sense.
Yeah, now, in terms of the regions of Italy, every region has its own sort of cuisine.
Oh, sure.
The book is titled Urban Italian. Is that urban Italian, like urban centers in Italy, or is it taking Italian food and bringing it to, say, Manhattan or Vancouver, for that matter?
Well, I mean, a little bit of the title had to do with kind of our existence, really, when we were testing the recipes and coming up with the book. Is this, you know, we live in Manhattan, and we were, you know, cooking everything in our small Manhattan apartment and going to the great Italian neighborhoods in the Bronx and in Brooklyn, and that kind of, like, I don't know, and the recipes are sophisticated and easy also, and kind of city cooking, really, and we wanted to kind of give that sense, really, and that's kind of how the name came about. Interestingly enough, also, is that, you know, that in Italian history, really, the cooking in Italy really happened in the cities, or I should say the more complicated cooking really happened in the cities, because you had all the wealth in the cities. Towns, you know, like Milan, for example, or Bologna, that's why you have, you know, risotto milanese and tagliatelle bolognese, because this is where, you know, the wealth was and where the good ingredients were and where spices were. And this is really important, too, is that, you know, in the countryside in Italy, I mean, there's this kind of, you think of Italian food in Italy, and you kind of think there's this kind of evocative sense of this, you know, table in the vineyard, and we all sit around and have this long meal. But that's a very, very new idea in the history of Italy, is kind of country cooking. Because only 80 years ago or 100 years ago, there was no... If you were out in the country in Italy, you were basically cooking with onions and leeks and possibly salt, if you could afford salt. Really, and you saw in the city centers, in the urban centers, you know, Rome, Venice, Bologna, even some of the smaller ones like Lucca, Ferrara, these kind of places, you know, that's where this cooking was a little... You had spices, you had fennel seed, you had cinnamon, you had better cuts of meat, better selection of fish. You didn't find it really in the countryside. It's only recently, the last actually 20 or 30 years really, where it's kind of this evocative sense of Italian cooking and more of the rustic country style cooking.
Gwen, I understand that you're a vegetarian.
Oh, no longer. I was a vegetarian when Andrew and I met.
Right.
And that was sort of horrifying to him, and he very nobly rose above that and decided that we could be together anyway. But I haven't been a vegetarian for some time. the legacy of that is that Andrew is actually really great with vegetables in a way that most chefs aren't, because when I first moved to New York from Vancouver, actually, we actually had a lot of time to cook at home, and so he really learned how to play with vegetables in a way that was interesting. But he was extremely supportive when I decided that I was going to try eating meat.
It's been a while now.
Yeah, it's been quite
a while. Eight, 9 years now.
Yeah.
When was it, Gwen, that you guys met?
We actually met, I think it's been about 17 years. We met in Toronto, and we shared a drive with a very good friend of ours from Toronto to Vancouver, because I was coming out here to go to grad school at UBC, and Andrew and our friend Mitchell Davis were heading to New York, and the three of us drove out here together, and that was that.
Is that when you went looking for the best truck stop breakfast across the country?
That would be it, and we found it at Sophie's, actually.
Sophie's on 4th?
Yep.
Which we visited today, just to remind ourselves.
I was reading about that. There's an article in the Times about the, I guess, when you guys got married. Mm-hmm. I guess it was 9 years ago now.
Yep.
Where's Mitchell Davis now?
Mitchell Davis is the vice president of the James Beard Foundation in New York, and he's a food writer and both a student and on the faculty at NYU's food studies program.
This new restaurant that you're working on, Andrew, is Gwen involved with that?
She'll be involved. I mean, Gwen. You know, Gwen. She'll be involved as a guest. That's how you know. Everyone, if they really don't know us, they meet us for the first time. And, oh, you're a chef, and they always say two things to Gwen. They say, oh, you must enjoy many great meals at home, which is usually not the case. We like to eat out.
Yeah.
And the other one is, oh, you must work together. And they think maybe she answers the phones or you know something like that. But yeah, Gwen prefers dining in my restaurants.
Amongst the people you went to school with, Andrew, I guess you went to the CIA, did you?
Yes.
Was it a goal then of people to get out, or who got out of school, to own their own restaurant? Or is it still a goal? It seems now that the goal is to get a TV show.
Well, yeah, that's very, very interesting, you know, that you say that. I spoke at graduation for CIA about a year and a half ago, and I was very surprised talking to some of the students afterwards, and no one was really interested, really, in being a chef. There was a lot of different people, you know, that, you know, things you wouldn't have heard of maybe 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, because if you were into food and you loved cooking, you wanted to be a great cook, a great chef, and you know, I definitely heard, like, well, I'm working on my own TV show, I'm working on my own, I want to write a cookbook, I want to be a food stylist, I want to, you know, some other people want to do catering and different levels of, you know, the restaurant business. But there's definitely, you know, food media has changed so much, and it's such a bigger presence, you know, these days. In fact, Gwen just wrote a great piece for Gastronomica called Taste of Fame that deals with kind of like, it's an interesting look at being a chef and what it means to be a celebrity and when they cross and the problems that come about because of that.
And for you, the goal is still, I mean you've been on television, but is the goal?
Yeah, I've done lots of TV. I've done Iron Chef, I've done, you know, Martha, I've done morning TV, I've done lots of local TV, but that's not why I get up in the morning and do it. I love the cooking part, and I love the you know, the business of being a restaurateur also.
What's a typical day like for a restaurateur, a chef like you, who owns your own place? I mean, is it a long day? One would assume it were.
Yeah, but, you know, I know a lot of, New York, you know, I know a lot of, you know, lawyers, and I know investment bankers, and I know professors, like my wife, and she, you know, I don't see people working less than me, sometimes even a little bit less, because it's very flexible. My life is very flexible. So there's the day-to-day, you know, aspect of the restaurant. I've learned over the years that being a good delegator and hiring great people and trusting great people is really important. And you can't do everything yourself. if you think you can do everything yourself, then you're never going to make it.
But it is certainly true that chefs and cooks work when other people play, which is why it feels like they're working all the time. And they work on holidays, and they work at night, so it feels like it's much harder work, but it's true. In New York, everybody works all the time.
It must be great, Gwen, living in New York City if you like eating good food.
Oh, it's the best place in the world, I think, to eat great food. And, you know, you can eat great food at all hours of the day and night, which for us is a pretty fabulous thing. We
usually eat at like 10 at night or 11 at night,
yeah.
Kind of our dinner time.
And the new restaurant. How far are you guys along on that, Andrew?
Oh, you know, when I get back to New York, you know, at the end of the month, I need to start making some decisions on what I'm going to do exactly. We have some spaces we've been looking at, and we just have to decide, you know, which space we're going to take and then develop the restaurant. We're kind of taking our time a little bit, and just trying to make smart decisions on what and when we're going to do it.
And in the cuisine, what'll that be?
Well, that's a good question. I'm not sure. I mean, New York is kind of interesting that way because there's a lot of great. Every space is a little bit different. Every block is a little bit different. So I think that no matter what, just depending on what neighborhood we're going to be in, and there's definitely neighborhoods I prefer over other ones, we'll kind of adjust our, you know, our concept and what we're going to do for food. And it might be Italian. It might be slightly more American. It might be French. Where I know it's odd philosophy, but it seemed to work for me over the years. Because besides, you know, Urban Italian is my first book, and it's about Italian cooking. I love Italian cooking, but I love everything, really. So it's just a matter of kind of like the marriage of the space and the ideas.
Are there Polish restaurants in Manhattan?
There are a couple. They're not so great. If you're going to go for Polish food, I would suggest Greenpoint Brooklyn, which is just across the East River. It's one of the first neighborhoods you get to in Brooklyn. There's a pretty strong Polish community. I find generally that the best Polish food you can find is probably made in the home.
Gwen, are there restaurants that you and Andrew go to here in Vancouver other than Sophie's?
Well, you know, we haven't been in Vancouver for a long time, but we are really excited to get out and eat, especially. You know, we want to eat Chinese food, we want to eat sushi while we're here. And, you know, we've been up and down the West Coast a little bit, and it's such a pleasure to be eating food that is so fresh and 5 minutes ago out of the water or out of the ground. So we want to go out and play a little bit here. We're taking suggestions.
Yeah. Now, how many times has Andrew seen Goodfellas?
Probably 5,000, which means in a small apartment that I too have seen it 5,000 times.
And you have a novel coming out soon, do you, Gwen?
No, I've actually got an academic book coming out soon, which is because everything in my life is about food, which is also about food. But it's a literary criticism book about food, drink, and drugs in the 19th century.
And Andrew, have you enjoyed going on tour with this book?
It has been fun. It's been a little bit of a whirlwind. You know, the amount of cities we've done, and some of the events have been great. And it's always good. You know, I was in Miami, with Chicago, Milwaukee, Cleveland, and up and down the West Coast. So, you know, I'm not complaining because I love to travel. So it's easy for me. It's not a burden. Some people are like, oh my God, it's so much traveling. But you know, I like going around. I like doing stuff and traveling and staying active. So it's today was a little bit of a stretch, but we're at a pretty active day today. But it's you know, it's a good time.
Well, it's been fun having you both on, and congratulations and continued good luck with the book.
Great.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The book is called Urban Italian, Simple Recipes and True Stories from a Life in Food. Andrew Carmelini and Gwen Hyman here on the Plant Online program. Photographs by Quentin Bacon, 3850 from Bloomsbury. For the commentary, I'm Joseph Planta.